I want to jump right into our scripture for today and kind of set the stage for what we want to talk about. And it is, the scripture is found in Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 8. I'm going to read verses 8 through 12 and then jump down and read verses 26 through 29. So if you want to follow along on the screen or if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 1. Verse 12 says, "Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving priests before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear." Dropping down to verse 26. "The sixth month, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. We are continuing our series, O Come All You Unfaithful. Last week, Ron spoke about those who are unstable, the characters in the Christmas story who were unstable, and how that also affects us in our lives. And today we want to talk about those who are fearful. And obviously, in the times we live in, that can be us as well. I think if we were all contestants on the game show Family Feud, anybody ever play that? Anybody just live it out in your homes? Yeah. But if we were contestants on the game show Family Feud, and we were asked to list words that are associated with the Christmas story, you can just real quickly in your mind start thinking of what some of those words might be. But I think we would come up with a list of words like joy, peace, goodwill, giving, and even family. And that list could go on and on. But there's one word that I think we would probably leave out that is actually the original feeling of the Christmas story. And that's fear. That's not one that is marketed. You don't see a lot of decorations that they're marketing and trying to sell to convey the fear aspect of Christmas. But it was the first emotion, the first feeling that the characters that were there on that first Christmas actually experienced and actually felt. And although some people today like to add a little bit of fear to this time period, to this festivity. For instance, in Europe, Saint Nicholas often arrives with a little helper who is a scary looking helper. He's dressed in blue and he carries with him coal and switches for those who have been naughty throughout the year. Even here in America, it seems like hardly Christmas sometimes without Charles Dickens' Three Ghosts or Jimmy Stewart's troubled George Bailey in those classics. But the truth of the matter is, in our own lives, if we really reflect, if we really think about, if we really look in the mirror, if we really take into consideration the reality of our own lives, there are people who are facing fear and dealing with a variety of fears on a daily basis. And some of those we kind of joke around with them about, because people have fears for things like they're scared of heights, or people might be scared of, enclosed places, or people might be scared of people that are scared of the darkness, people that are scared of spiders, people that are scared of snakes, people that are scared of mice, people that are scared of all different kinds of things in their lives. If you Google it, one at the top of the list are the people that are scared of public speaking. People list that as they are more scared of public speaking than they are of death itself, of dying. It just rattles them to the core. So my point is, fear is real. Fear is real. Today we have a fear of a virus, do we not? We have a fear of the foundations of what our country was built on being taken away from us. We have the fears that because of a pandemic are causing people to fear losing jobs, are causing people to fear losing lives. So fear is real. But the Bible has a lot to tell us, a lot to say about fear, especially in the Christmas story and especially with the Christmas characters involved. You see, first century Israel had been taken over by the oppressive Roman Empire, and Roman had tight control over the Jewish nation of Israel. And there were legitimate reasons for the Israelites to be fearful. King Herod himself was a ruthless, vicious leader. He was an unstable leader. When Ron talked about those who were unstable last week, Herod would fall in that category. And his Roman army was not known for being nice to people, especially the Israelites. The slaughter of innocent people all throughout the land, especially in and around Bethlehem at this point in time, was terrifying to them. As they went around their daily lives, they had no idea at what point in time they might be next. And then there's Herod himself. King Herod himself was fearful. He feared this new Messiah. He feared this new King of the Jews. He feared him even though he was just a baby that was being born because he was known to be the Christ child. And King Herod feared that this Messiah, this new King of the Jews, would grow up to overtake him and overtake his power. However, as we go on with the message today, I want you to know and understand and take note of the fact that there is no angel that appears to King Herod in the Christmas story. However, there are four times in the Christmas story that we encounter fearful people of God. We encounter people that we read about earlier, Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds. And in all of those cases, in all four of those cases, God sends angels to speak to them and comfort them. And the theme is the same. The angels tell them to fear not. A phrase that is actually used so many times throughout the Bible, whether it's fear not or don't be afraid. So let's look at these characters real quickly. First of all, we have Zechariah. Zechariah the priest was preparing the temple through his temple duties when an angel of the Lord appeared to him. And Luke records that he was startled and he was gripped with fear. Didn't just say he was afraid, he was gripped with fear. Now, no one understands it in biblical times that people thought when an angel came, that angel was probably bringing death or destruction. So the angel itself, at first appearance, would even have made Zechariah afraid. But this angel comes, and Zechariah is assured, fear not, because God has heard your prayer. Well, what was Zechariah's prayer? Zechariah's prayer was that he wanted to live long enough to see the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah. And so the angel not only assures Zechariah, you're going to be able to see the coming of the Messiah, but not only that, you're going to be the father to the forerunner, the prophet, John the Baptist. You're going to be a part of it. You're going to be a character in this Christmas story. So don't be afraid. I've got this. Mary had a lot to fear. She was told by the angel Gabriel that she was highly favored, kind of a special object of grace from God. But think about it. Here's a young Jewish girl facing the prospect of being an unwed mother, facing the prospect of her fiancé, who at that point in time in their society, when you became pledged to each other and you were fiancés, it was pretty much the same as us being married. And I say that because it was possible that at this point in time, Joseph could actually legally divorce her. So she's facing that. She's facing public disgrace. And in the middle of all of that, right in the middle of it, there's this mandatory government census that is going to require them dangerous travel from Nazareth to go to Bethlehem. You know, in our lives, we can count our fears, imagining all the terrible things that might happen. Or we can trust that God is right in the middle of it. And God knows what is going to happen. And God knows how it's going to work out. And God is overseeing every aspect for us. You see, Mary was about to enter some unknown territory. She has just been asked to be the one to deliver the Messiah, to deliver the Son of God to all of us now, but at that point in time, the Israelites. But through that, she was assured by the angel Gabriel, God's going to keep you under his wings. God's going to oversee everything that's going on. You do not have to be afraid, because God is with you, and he's going to keep you strong throughout all these circumstances that you're going to have to face and live through. And then there's Mary's fiance, Joseph. Boy, he needed a lot of reassurance. He needed a lot of it. Joseph feared the public ridicule. Joseph feared the public criticism. I mean, what if the people of his town, what if these people that he had grown up with and has known his entire life, friends and family, what if all of these people of this town assumed that this young couple decided not to wait? How was he going to face that? I mean, how do you look at those people and explain a virgin birth? How do you explain that? An angel appears to Joseph and said to Joseph, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to name him. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he's going to save his people from their sins." Don't be afraid. This is going to turn out well. The fourth is a group of people, the shepherds. And I know Ron talked about the shepherds last week as being unstable, but they were also fearful. The shepherds are out in their fields managing their flocks where they did their work, right? They're out managing their flocks just outside of Bethlehem. They had all kinds of fears. They feared that predators would come. They feared that thieves would come. And all they wanted to do was protect their flock. They wanted to keep their flock safe. They wanted to keep their flock healthy. And in order to do that, they remained with their sheep all the time, which means they stayed out there in those fields. They stayed out there in the inclement weather. They stayed out there in the rough times so that they could oversee and take care of their flock. So their first thought when angels appeared was probably that they were being invaded, because that was their fear all along, fear of predators and thieves. But yet the angels tell them and reassure them that, no, listen, this is a mission of peace. And you get to be a part of spreading the news that there is a new Prince of Peace. Don't be afraid. You're going to be a character in the play. And it's going to work out okay. It's good news. It's great news. You see, in all four of these incidents, an angel appeared and told them not to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. And for us today, we have many fears, we have many anxieties that continue to seem to creep into our lives, do they not? They keep popping up and make us anxious over situations and circumstances. I mean, it's a strange time that we're living in. It's a strange and scary time that we are facing. And you as an individual, or you as a family, probably have your own fears that are going through your minds right now. But even here at East Columbus Christian Church, there might be things that are coming up. There might be ministries that we're trying to implement. There might be renovation projects that we're introducing to you. And you think, I don't, how will God ever provide? Where will it come from? How will we do it? And in our own individual lives and in our church family as well, it is easy to give in to that anxiety. I mean, just contemplating the future. We sometimes get anxious over what God might even ask of us. What God might be telling us he wants us to do. What kind of player he wants us to be. What kind of character he's going to ask us to be in the play. Where is he going to send us? Where is he going to lead us? And I want you to know this morning that God doesn't want you to remain insecure in your story. The comforting message of Jesus is this: fear not. God has provided a Savior. Fear not. And while the original Christmas emotion was that of fear, I think there's a word that we can use to replace that fear. And that word is honored. On that first Christmas, a world that was filled with fear was honored with God's comforting presence. Emmanuel, God with us. And you know, here today in our lives, we might not be fortunate to be able to have an angel come to be the messenger, to deliver that message to us. But we have something that those Bible characters didn't have. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Scripture that tells us time and time again to not be afraid. Tells us why we shouldn't have those anxieties, why we shouldn't have those fears. See, it's a key message of Christmas. Fear not at this time of year. Fear not in this season that we celebrate. Fear not in the season of your lives that you're living out. Why? Because God promises to guide us. God promises to remain with us. God promises to lead us and be with us. He is, as it says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, He is our wonderful counselor. He is our mighty God. He is our everlasting Father. And He is our Prince of Peace. And because of that, God allows us to move in our lives from fear into faith. Have you ever wondered why an angel didn't appear to King Herod? Because King Herod didn't have God on his side. As Christians, we have no need to be afraid because God is on our side. As Christians, when we consider all that God accomplished by sending His Son to be born and live and die and be resurrected, our response should be one of admiration. Our response should be that of reverence. Our response should be that of awe, of praise and joy, because we have our hope in Christ Jesus. However, when non-believers, when unbelievers consider the birth of Christ and what He came to accomplish, and when they look at their impending judgment, they should be very afraid because they don't have that hope that we have in Christ Jesus. If you think, if you're sitting there, if you're watching today and you're thinking, you don't understand, Kendall, you don't know my life, you don't know what I've been through, you don't know what I've done, maybe you're sitting there thinking that your life is just one of utter disaster. Maybe you're thinking that, you know, the truth is, I'm a mess. That's what you're thinking today. If you're thinking today that God could never use me, that God could never use my life in order to pursue His cause, I want to point you to just a couple real short, familiar Bible stories. How about Joseph? a guy whose brothers hated him so much that they sold him into slavery and left him to die, and went back and convinced his dad that he was devoured by animals that just put him out of their lives. But the Bible says that through all that, God meant it for good. And then later on, God uses Joseph to save thousands of people, including his father, including his brothers, from starvation during a time of famine. How about Samson? Samson, a guy who lusted over a Philistine girl. Not quite the nice little Jewish girl that his parents wanted him to marry or to be with. But the Bible says his father and mother did not know that this was from the Lord. How about King Solomon's son? The great King Solomon, whose son made a disastrous decision that cost him half of the kingdom. What a mess. But God said, okay, this thing is from me. I've got this. Or how about Jacob? Jacob was a liar. Jacob was a cheater. Jacob had to flee for his life. Jacob had to sleep out in the open country with nothing more than a rock for his pillow. But then he wakes up with a vision of angels and he says, surely the Lord is in this place. And I just didn't know it. Your life may appear to be very well ordered on the surface, but deep down, you know, mess. Messy life. Deep down, you think, I'm falling apart. Deep down, there may be brokenness, pain, maybe even shame. Things that to you appear to be incapable of fixing. I got good news for you today. God is bigger than your fears. God is bigger than your mess. And the truth of the matter is, He kind of excels in performing in messes. He likes to get involved in those. He's God. He's really good about working in messy situations. In fact, I think he gets a kick out of surprising us with his amazing grace. What's the mess you're struggling with today? Maybe, just maybe, that if you will allow him to, God will take your mess and turn it into a blessing. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. How bad can it be? Well, a young girl gets pregnant. Her parents are utterly shamed. Her fiancé, who is not the father, is ready to dump her. And then he's told, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. How bad can it get? Well, the girl's in labor. She's far from home, long way from home, with only a barn to be able to lie down and have her baby. And the only place to put her newborn infant is in a cattle trough. Now we, today, as we see that scene, we think that probably, or at least we imagine that that was, it was fresh, fragrant straw that was in that trough. But I really doubt that in that barn that night that there were tightly stacked bales of straw neatly lined up against a wall in that barn. I imagine that that hay, that straw, had probably already been trampled on and used by some of those animals. You see, life was a mess. But God was in it. God sees Mary with her little tiny infant, that little baby. And this time, he sends a host of angels. And in Luke 2, verses 10 to 12, it reads, "Behold," these are the angels speaking now, "singing, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." That includes us, by the way. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." The messy manger itself was a gift from God. Is your life a mess? Then let it be a sign to you that God wants to go to work in your mess. Your very good news is that God is the God of a messy manger. That's good news today. The resurrected, he's also the God of the resurrected Christ that went to a cruel cross. He's also the God involved with the Holy Spirit who, as we talked about in the communion meditation, that wants us to build a temple so that he can live inside of us and live through us. And we have access to this God who wants to work miracles in your lives 24/7. We no longer have to go to a temple to be able to have a conversation, to be able to seek God. He's available for us every minute, every second of every day. He's also the God that wants to clean up your mess. He's also the God that wants to bless you. And that, like the messy manger, if you allow him to do it, will be a miracle all of its own. As the worship team comes up, if that describes you today, if that has hit upon you in any way, shape, or form, if you are out there today, either online or here in person, and you want to get rid of your fears, and you want to turn away from your sins, if you want to trade in the lies of Satan for the truth of God, if you want to worship and serve the Creator instead of being manipulated by the creature, we invite you to come and turn your life over to him. We invite you to come and allow him to be Lord of your life. You've never made that commitment, we pray that you do that today. Maybe you have done that and you just have been caught up in this world that we live in and the life that we live. Maybe you've gotten caught up in the fast pace of life. Maybe you've gotten caught up in all these things that are happening, whether it be through viruses or politics or whatever, and you've just lost focus and you just need, during this time of the season, what a better time to refocus on the season of Christmas and on what God can do in your life. Maybe you're here and you're just looking for a church home. If you're looking to be a part of a great church family, we'd love to talk to you about that as well here at East Columbus Christian Church. But I'm going to invite you to stand as we sing our hymn of invitation.